Arthur says in every church you'll find diversity is a mixture of a variety of unique people, races, cultures, personalities, backgrounds, gender, socioeconomic status, and levels of spiritual maturity, growth, and progress. And these diversities, when properly implemented in an environment and culture of honor, can provide a positive catalyst for kingdom advancement. Now, as a child of God, your life assignment consists of bringing glory to God and advancing the kingdom of God. And so we were created by God and for God. So now in this fifth chapter, you know, we're going to take a look at two additional breakthrough principles for raising breakthrough believers. And these principles are, number one, discipling and mentoring believers at different levels of maturity and giftings. And number two, cultivating a worshipful heart and intense passion for his presence. So this number one governing principle, one, discipling and mentoring believers at different levels of maturity and gifting. So now the author starts off by stating when believers are born again and added to the kingdom of God, we need to move them into the process of discipleship. Immediately now, to disciple someone, we need to mold them through changing their thinking patterns. What the apostle was talking about earlier, you know, a lot of times, you know, people come into the kingdom of God. A lot of people come into the kingdom of God and they're never disciple. They're never disciple. That's why we have so many renegades in the kingdom of God. We have so many people in the kingdom of God who, you know, they come in and they get excited about the things of God, and then they just start doing their own thing. But that's why it ought to be, as soon as they get in, they should go through some kind of disciple program so their thinking patterns can change, so they'll devote themselves to a new pattern in behavior and conduct expressing the desired lifestyle. Now, I believe that this revelation that the apostle is teaching, you know, because we've been teaching, you know, renewing of the mind for years. And but the revelation of the soul, you know, which, it, you know, includes the mind, you know, it really opens up a whole lot of more avenues. And when you look in scripture, you can see a whole lot clearer, you know, things as it relates to, you know, why, you know, people struggle with this habit and why they struggle with that habit and that sort of thing and stuff. So it opens up, you know, a whole new avenue where we can really deal with Satan as he's trying to, you know, afflict our soul and that sort of thing. So that would not be complete discipleship without changing their thinking patterns and changing their lifestyles and conduct. And, you know, and the only way that's going to happen, you know, like Apostle was saying earlier, that the only way that's going to happen is they have to discover how Satan been getting in, how he been blocking them, how he been maneuvering, that sort of thing. And once they find out that and start applying that light, the blood and the dunamis power, then they're going to begin to start seeing results. So a whole lot of folks still in the body of Christ, still trapped, still hung up with habits. Now, I know pastors that, I had a pastor to tell me, you know, I was, I'd heard some things that had happened to him. So I was just trying to help him. You know, I didn't know whether what they were saying was true or whatever. So I just went and talked to him. And he told me, yes, it was true. And so I told him that I wanted to help him. And one of the things that really got me, what this man said to me, he said, you know, I feel just like a drug addict. He was in a relationship. You know, he was a married man, but he was in a relationship. He said, and it's just like drugs. He said, sometime, you know, in the middle of the night, he said, I got to get up and I got to, and I began to, you know, share with him that, you know, he really needed, you know, his spiritual father to, he needed to go talk to his spiritual father. But he felt like going, doing that was going to keep him out of a prestigious position. And anytime somebody worry more about a position than they do about, you know, getting their life together, man, it's a lot of games that's been playing. So I believe that what's going on at this school and what Apostle is pointing to us is it's going to change. It's not, it's already changing, you know, people's lives. And that old paradigm, you know, we folk going to start seeing that they're just going to have to get away from that. Many people who were converted seldom make it to discipleship. They are now in a new environment, but inwardly they're unchanged. They're just like being a fish that was in a pond, that was in a pond, and now is in an aquarium. You know, he just changed places, but he's still the same. And so, you know, they're carnal Christians. They're saved, but their minds haven't been renewed with the word of God. They soul still all messed up. Now, because their thinking patterns have not changed, their lifestyles and conduct haven't changed. They're doing the same thing that they did before they got saved. Discipleship brings about a change in their thinking patterns as they teach believers to observe and devote themselves to sound doctrine. So we must provide clear, sound doctrine so that thinking patterns are changed and lifestyle challenges are to honor God. Now, after we have trained them to live this dimension of discipleship, then we need to take it to the next level, train them to know, to say, and to do that which God has given us. Now, in Matthew 28, and 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Disciples are to observe all that God has commanded the apostles to do. And this is another thing. God is, for a long time in the church, when we didn't, we thought that, you know, the apostles were in the last, you know, in the days before now, and there were no apostles now, because we didn't know anything about apostles. But if you follow the Apostle Paul and you follow how there were certain things at certain times that God would reveal to him, and then, you know, the people would just be set free. So we experiencing today that same kind of anointing that's upon the apostle, but upon apostle, where just fresh revelation just keep coming, but God has preserved it for a time. And so because we have not really known about how the apostle functioned now, that's why we had so many people who would not really allow anybody to really disciple them. People really wouldn't let anybody really mentor them. Nobody father them. They just became renegades and that sort of thing and stuff. So that's a whole mindset that has to, people have to change the whole mindset, the whole concept of how, you know, they believe as it relates to you know, really following somebody and really being poured into, not only just being poured into, but then you in turn pouring into somebody else. It's a constant thing where as apostle is pouring into us, then God is requiring us to reproduce ourselves in other people. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? So there has to be, so this cannot happen unless we have to go back. We have to get this paradigm straight, where people Well, we don't just have church members, but church members understand that this is apostolic, and apostolic carry a whole different concept of training and raising sons and daughters, and not just church members. And so, and we're going to begin to see how in this day and time, we're going to begin to see how the power of God is going to really, you know, be resonated in our life like we had never seen before. Praise God. So disciples is not only to regulate a person's behavior according to what we are teaching him, but also to train someone who will be able to reproduce us in all that God is calling us to do. All right. So, God gave me this revelation years ago. And when I would share it with people, when I would share it with other preachers, they could not see it. They could not understand it. How in the world could God call you to follow somebody, and then God wanted you to take on their agenda and forsake your agenda? I knew that God was saying this to me, but I just couldn't get many people to believe it. Couldn't get many pastors to believe it. They just felt like, I got my own vision. I got my own thing that I'm doing. That's not the way God did it. Everywhere in the Bible, you'll see where God used somebody to train somebody else to train another people. That's why we've seen in the generations that have gone before us, we don't see the power that was in those people that were walking like the Catherine Kuhlmans, the Jack Coles, those people who, A.A. Allen, those people who God was really using the power. Why in the world did we not see a continuation of that? Because people didn't understand the apostolic. They didn't understand that they were supposed to sit under those people, and they were supposed to have allowed those people to father them, to pour into them, to mentor them, to put them in a position where they were reproducing themselves in them.
Yes, sir.
And because they didn't do that, decades went by without us really seeing the power. So we've got so used to not really seeing signs, wonders, and miracles and that sort of thing and stuff. So we just go to church. But watch this. The revelation that God has given apostles now is going to put people in a position where we're going to be advancing the kingdom. Because we've been spending most of our church life and stuff just trying to get over, you know, our habits, our hangups. You understand what I'm saying? So Satan have had us bound where we couldn't do the greater works because we've been so busy, you know, just trying to, you know, we're trying to put out this little fire in our life. We're trying to put out this fire. Soon as everything looks like it's all right, something else break out. You understand what I'm saying? But now that we're coming to understanding how to deal with these things that's in our soul, now we're going to be able to do the greater work. And we are a threat to Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
I say we are a threat to his kingdom. And he knows now that God is equipping folk. God is bringing revelation and insight to people so that they can advance the kingdom of God. So the disciples must be apostolic in nature, thinking paradigm and lifestyles. But say it again. Disciples must be apostolic in nature, thinking patterns and lifestyles. Discipleship is not only given a set of doctrines to adhere to, but discipleship means to reproduce after our kind. So one of the things that you have to do, you have to make your mind up that if God, Apostle was saying it earlier, when God called me to follow Apostle, you understand? And so there is nothing that Apostle can do to stop me from following him. God told me to follow. You understand what I'm saying? And so, see, this has to be something that you've got your soul set. I don't entertain nothing that said negative about my apostle. I don't entertain nothing. I'm talking about, I don't even, at one time, you know, when I first started following, you know, I was trying to defend when somebody say something. The Lord told me, no, The Lord said, because if you, in order for you to defend, you got to listen. And when you listen and things that they say, he said, they are seeds, and seeds, all they need is the right condition before they start growing. So watch this. Once somebody say something to you about somebody, then you're responsible for what you heard.
That's right. Amen.
So now watch this. Okay. When somebody's saying something, about your leader, then what it's doing is messing with your soul. Because now, you know, the Spirit of God is trying to take you somewhere through that leader, but your soul blocking you. Your soul telling you, you know, you ain't got to do all that. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be going out here. You don't have to be going to church every time you look around, that sort of thing and stuff. He'll block you. And so I've never let anybody, you know, I can say, you know, that there's something that I can say, and I believe I'll be able to say it to Jesus come. I've never said nothing negative about an apostle or his family. Never. Me or my wife, never. Never. You know how, you know, a wife and husband get together and talk, you know, no, we don't do nothing. No, because this God, this is assignment that God has given us. And God has, and see, people trip out when I start talking like this. Oh, man, you know, they try to act like you brainwash yourself. Well, I'm brainwashed. Yeah, my brain been washed with all that foolishness. You understand what I'm saying? Because if God told you to follow,
come on.
So one thing that God is not bipolar.
Right.
God is not going to take. See, these folk who talk about God told me to follow for a season. Mm-hmm. Why you? Where did they get that from? They got that from religion and tradition. Whenever a person is supposed to leave, God going to speak to that leader. Man, I couldn't even dream of going to pastors telling pastor, my season is up. Where I'm going to go? Jesus told the disciples, you know, they was going. Jesus told Peter, said, you going too? He said, where I'm going to go? You the one, hold eternal life. That's how I feel. But where am I going to go?
Amen.
You understand? So, but this is, when you start training folk like this, see, you've had so many bad apples. You had so many people who, Apostle said this tonight, your following has to be your willingness. Not something somebody forcing on you. What I do it because I want to do it.
Right.
I follow because I want to follow. You understand what I'm saying? I love them because I want to.
Right.
Nobody make me. Nobody force me. Nobody nothing. I just do because this is what I want to do.
Right.
And so it has to be, a person's willingness to do it out of their obedience to Christ. And so but as I was saying earlier, you've had so many bad apples, so many people who lead folk and stuff. And let me tell you something. I've been following an apostle now. This is my 19th year. And he's always, whenever I go to him and ask him for some wisdom, he'll give me his wisdom. Then the next thing he's going to say, now see what the Lord say about it. He never told me, say, look, you go do this. He said, this is my wisdom I'm going to give you. See, first of all, watch this. I shouldn't go to him and ask a question if I don't want him to give me an answer to it. See, this is where a whole lot of folk mess up. They go to a leader and ask them questions, but they don't want to do nothing that they said. See, it's a waste of his time for me to go to him and ask him something about something, and then he give me his wisdom on it, and then I just go away, you know, and just do my own thing. And that was my intention at first. No. I should, first of all, I feel like this. Now, y'all don't throw no rocks at me. I say like a positive, throw something at me, I'm gonna throw them back. Praise the Lord. I feel like this. When Apostle give me his wisdom, it's just like God giving it to me. Boy, church folk gets disturbed when you start saying, man, look, don't drop that coffee. Don't drop that coffee cup on the internet. That's what I said. When he say something to me, it's just like God saying it. That's why when you have to develop a trust for the person that you're following. So you got to develop a trust. And so, see, all of this, what I'm saying now, see, we have to, by the Spirit of God, you know, leading us to follow somebody and that sort of thing. Then we have to follow them enough. The Bible said, know them that labor among you and over you in the Lord. So you have to follow them long enough where you can get to know them. Because you don't, knowing them, you know, don't mean that, you know, you talking to them every day, you know, you at their house and that kind of stuff. No, it means that, hey, I get to know their heart. I get to know, the direction that they're going in. I get to know, you know, their intentions and that sort of thing and stuff, and not, you know, becoming familiar with them. Because once you become familiar, you shed off the anointing that's on their life that's supposed to be being poured out on yours. You shed that off. You can never become familiar. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, that's what they said about Jesus. They said, who is this? Who is he with, you know, with all these miracles and stuff? Isn't this Mary's son, Joseph? You know, we got a coffee table. We got a coffee table at the house that he built. And it's the same one. But they became familiar. And the Bible said he couldn't do many miracles. Jesus, with the anointing that he had on his life, he couldn't do many miracles because they became too familiar. So in this process of discipleship, and it's got to come back to the church where people become, first of all, become disciples. You understand what I'm saying? And then this next stage. This next stage. Mentoring. So the first stage is discipleship and then mentoring. Now, mentoring, on the other hand, has to do with imparting skills and styles so that the believers are able to do what they are supposed to do. We are coaching them so that they can become peak performers. Now, you know, just like the people that apostles have around them, the 12, what my job is, what I do is, I'm a specialist at this. I show people how to connect properly. You understand what I'm saying? I had a man one time, you know, he got an organization and stuff. And see, this one thing you have to be careful of, you know, because people can talk to you and they don't get a chance to talk to apostle. Then they try to make you their apostle. So you have to be careful of that. Man was talking about one time, he said, man, the Lord told me to buy you a pair of shoes. I said, you better buy them big enough to fit apostle. Because that's who won't get them, because you're not going to buy me no pair. You're not going to buy me a pair of shoes. First of all, God did not call me to speak in you. I'm an extension of him. And so don't come here talking about just because, you know, man, you know, when I'm going through something, you know, I can call you, I can talk to you and stuff. The only reason you call and talk to me is because apostle gave me his assignment. I'm only doing what he's assigned me to do. So don't come here trying to put me on no pedestal. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, whenever you in another person's ministry, just like during a prosperity Bible, you know, apostle told me to teach that night. Told me that night that I was going to teach that next morning. But whenever he changed his mind is changing. Guess what? Amen. I just follow through. Amen. So I don't sit around here talking about, you know, well, I thought I was going. No, I ain't. Listen to me. I came here prepared to whatever apostle want to do. That's why I'm flowing. Yes, sir. When you come to the place where, you know, you got your own agenda and stuff. See, watch this. First of all right, even teaching in the school of ministry, this is his vision. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't come here and try to implement my vision into the students. No, I come here and exactly what his vision is, exactly what his agenda is. That's what I come and I convey to you. Amen. I ain't coming here. I'm not coming here on my own. One of the things that people have to, people going to be discipleship, if they're going to be mentored, they got to come to a place to know that when you are operating in another man's ministry, you got to be faithful to that person. You got to be faithful to that person. You got to be faithful to them. Praise God. I don't care. I remember this happened some years ago. I hadn't been following an apostle that long. And so they had this gentleman, apostle he was about to start an organization, ministerial organization. And he had called some men up who was going to be leaders in the organization. So I'm sitting outside this guy, and the guy tell me, the guy say, "What's wrong with us? We not good enough?" I said, "What you mean?" He said, "Well, he didn't call us. Well, we not good enough." I said, "The Lord didn't call us." I said, "Man, promotion come from God. Don't you know that?" I said, Now, if you're going to talk like this, you can't sit by me. Amen. And so he said to me, he said, "Well, yeah, I'm just saying." I said, "Well, don't say that no more." Amen. Because I'm about to get up. The same guy, show you what happened. The same guy, because this is what he said to me. He said, "I got to have somebody I can put my hand on." I said, "Put your hand on? What you mean?" "I got to have somebody that I'm following. When I call them, you know, they got time to talk to me." I said, "Man, are you losing your mind?" So the guy wound up going to, he told me that this other guy, the Lord showed him that this was his spiritual father. Now he done got upset because he wasn't chosen as a, you understand what I'm saying? Watch this. So he said this other man was his spiritual father. So and this other man, this man who he said was spiritual father, his ministry was bigger than the one he said his spiritual father was. Now, how in the world that man going to take you somewhere he ain't been yet? Mm-hmm. All right. So because he got off track, his whole ministry went down. I pass by it all the time. Whole ministry just. And he don't have enough. He got too much pride to come back and say, "I missed it." Hallelujah. So, but watch this. Suppose I had been in agreement with him. Mm-hmm. Suppose I had sat there and talked with him and talked about how, you know, "Man, you're right. We ought to be." So watch this. So apostle at that time, because them guys got crazy. Apostle, "Look, y'all do like I did. Y'all follow like I did. I follow my spiritual father. I'm not having no organization." All right. So I guess 10 years went by. 10 years or more went by. And then when he started LTMA and he asked me to be one of the 12. Now suppose. See, listen to me. God's got a timing for everything for your life. But that's why you have to have somebody to train you and to mentor you so that you won't miss a turn. I've seen so many people miss turns. I mean, here I was. I remember I'm sitting at the back of Word of Life. A buddy got all them songs and stuff. You know, that was there's all in the front seat and everything all over. And so I'm just sitting in the back. And so it's been years ago. And so Pastor came back there one day while he's teaching and stuff. He said, "Why you always sit back here?" He said, "You think that's humble, don't you?" He said, "That's stupid." I said, "Wow." I said, "He called me stupid." I said, "I better get my stupid self up and get closer to the front." Yes. See, watch this. The Lord told me to follow, so calling me stupid wasn't going to stop me from following. Come on. And then, you know, when I went to looking at it, I was stupid. I'm sitting all the way in the back and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I want them guys running for seats and stuff. I just sit back here in the back. As long as I'm in the building, you know what I'm saying? But being all the way back in the building, you know, I need to be up there where the fire was.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, I start getting closer. I start getting closer and closer than let me get. You know what I'm saying? I get here early so I can get a little closer. I mean, that's what instruction that I got. The instruction I got to get yourself out of the back. Try to get you somewhere closer. Stupid. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's been about 18 years ago. And I have been corrected. I have been rebuked. I have been, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you can't follow a real man of God and don't get your feelings hurt. Okay, all right, y'all don't. No, you can't follow a real man of God and not get your feelings hurt, because you get your feelings hurt. He'll hurt your feelings. And sometimes he'll do it on purpose. Just to see. See, if folk gonna follow you, you got to test and see who you got around you. You will never know who. Listen to me. I heard people say, oh, you know, I'm with you all the way. I know I'm not going to ever leave you and stuff like that. Okay, we'll see. And so soon as they get corrected, all of a sudden, they fabricate these new instructions from God. The Lord said that it's time for me to go here now. Why you didn't go before you got rebuked? The rebuke is the thing that drove you. Your soul got in the way. And now all of a sudden you're changing direction, and this is not where God told you to be at. So it's so important, man, to understand this apostolic, how God has said it. It's been there all the time. We just have not had a revelation of it. And so, you know, like I said, for years, you know, I followed and I just had a different kind of mindset. Like, okay, one time, this has been years ago. I was at my house, and the Lord said, take this $1,000 and told me to bring it to Apostle. And so, So what I did was I made a phone call to see if it was all right for me to bring it. And so he said, okay, yeah. They said, yeah, you can bring it here at home. So I went there and I rung the doorbell. And, the maid came out. I'm looking for him. And the maid comes out. And so I said, I'm looking for Dr. Thomas. She said, I know what you want. She said, just give it here. I'll take it to him. And so I gave it to him. So I'm going on the step. I said, he ain't come out. And watch this. And by the time I hit the bottom step, the Holy Spirit said, I didn't send you over here to get in his face. I sent you over here to bring a package.
Yes, sir.
So watch this. Then, I want to say about a month or two later, the Lord said to me again, this guy came up to me and said to me, he said, man, I'm believing God for a house. And the Lord told me to give you this $1,200. He said, the Lord told me to give you. And as soon as he gave it to me, I said, man, if the man believing for a house, I mean, you know, I ain't packing like that. I'm taking this to Apostle. You know, I called him Dr. Thompson at the time. I said, I'm taking this here. So the Lord told me, said, you know, go and take it. So I'm going here. I'm going this time, just like it was last time. I'm looking for the maid. And so he comes to the door and he takes it and he speaks a word over my life. And I'll never forget it. He said to me, that you getting ready to walk into finance like you never. I mean, I went there. That $1,200 was all I had. Somebody had just blessed me with it. You understand what I'm saying? That's all I had in my pocket. That's all I had. And so I go there, and so he said those words. And guess what? Just like he said, just like the man of God said, praise God. And the money ain't never stopped coming.
Yeah.
It's almost like one day I'm broke and look like all of a sudden, bam. Now, suppose I had got offended the first time when I went with the maid.
Yes, sir.
I never would have got the word the second time. Why in the world am I sharing this with y'all? I'm sharing this with y'all because so many people make so many, they make so many missteps. They make so many wrong turns, you know, in their following. And they think they think that this is something that, you just got to obey God. You have to follow and understand that no matter what your sense is trying to say to you, how your soul trying to block you and that kind of thing and stuff, this is what God told me to do, and I'm going to keep on doing it. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me say this. Oh, Lord, I'm going to say this. Before we went to the break, you know, we were talking about some things. I never did get a chance to finish that last part about the finances and stuff. Let me tell you something. Y'all listen to me. Listen to me good when I tell you this. I started off with an amount that I was given. And my wife and I, we sat down and we decided that this is going to be a lifestyle for us, our giving to our man of God. So we started planning our giving. Okay, all right. We started planning. Okay, how do we plan? We said, look, we're going for a long time, Mr. White, a long time. We stopped shopping. Amen. I used to take my wife and I used to take her to Neiman's Marcus, get her to St. John's and stuff. We stopped all that craziness. Mm-hmm. I stopped buying them tailor-made suits. We stopped. Because we were trying to get somewhere. We were trying to be somewhere that we had not arrived yet. And most times when you're trying to be somewhere where you hadn't really arrived yet, you're really trying to impress people. So we decided we going to establish us a plan where we're going to bless our man of God, our man and our woman of God, and this wasn't going to be an event, but this was going to be a lifestyle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And so that is what we did. And if I told you what I did now, you know, it'll really shock you. Every time I sin, that's morning, night. The Bible say, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening don't withhold your hand. And I want to say this because especially second-year students, all the and alumni that's watching, see, during this graduation this year, we want to be a blessing to the apostle. We really want to be. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all got quiet on me in here. Yeah, we want to see when you one of these tight walls, you know, where you you still trying to impress folk. So if you feel like, let me tell you something. Every time I see apostle, it's a prophecy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Every time I see him, he prophesied to me. What he prophesying to me? This is where I'm headed. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna happen overnight. But I have to buckle down and I have to go through the process. And see, a lot of times, watch this. A lot of times when he's saying stuff about this is what I did with Brother Hagin. This is what I did. I got that.
Right.
See, because if you did that with your spiritual father and this is what God has done for you.
Come on now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I see you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, he said, now I got a few minutes. Let me tell you this here. They had this pastor. I was in the barber shop, minding my own business. And this pastor, the barber said, do you know this pastor here? I said, no, I don't know him. And so he asked me, do you know him? He said, no. And so he asked me who I was following. It's been years ago. Okay, I got you. I said, I follow Dr. Thompson. He said this. He said, can I tell you something, young man? I said, yeah. He said, I'm the one who carried him to Tulsa for the first time to a Word of Faith meeting. He said, every time I would look around, he going, taking money out of his pocket, giving it to Brother Hagin. He said, I was saying all the time, that'll never be me. That white man will never get my money. That's what he said. Say, man, he just giving that white man. What's wrong with him? This is what the man said sitting in the barbershop. The man said, if I knew then what I know now, he said, I'd have been following him, blessing Brother Hagin. He said, look at his life and look at my life. Look at his ministry and look at my ministry. Right now, this man is the one who say, he introduced the apostle to Word of Faith. This man don't have no more than 25 members after all these years. Because he couldn't follow. Because he felt like he was too big to do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, that's it, y'all. That's it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.